Hello and welcome. I'm Haney.
I'm Alexander.
And I'm Simon.
We are Knee Deep in Tech, covering the latest from the IT industry with a specific focus on Microsoft and how to get actual value from technology. This is episode 262, recorded on April 2nd, 2024. You will be able to find this and our previous episodes on kneedeepintech.com, iTunes, Spotify, and on most podcasting platforms. We are here again for a focus episode.
First, before we head into this week's focus segment, which will focus on architecture and architects, we did our last focus segment were actually a segment where we gathered feedback from some of our listeners and talked about it. And we really appreciate that. And we're super happy for that feedback. We have also met some of our listeners at SQL Bits. So great to meet all of you that were there. And the ones that were part of the recording, of course. But obviously, when we actually talk about the feedback, we get more feedback. So first and foremost, our feedback on the feedback. And I think the feedback on the feedback from Bart were actually feedback on the feedback on the feedback. So we are we're in the feedback loop, which Inception. I've heard is a good thing. Yeah, but yes. I've heard that feedback loops are a good thing within the DevOps things. It will be very interesting to see Haney's reaction when you listen to that episode from Bits.
But I might have some feedback.
You might have some feedback. Yeah. So our friend Bart reached out and said that, yes, we should bring back the names of the episodes, not just having numbers, but having the names of the episode. So it's something that he enjoys, at least. We all remember the malicious cleaning lady. And I think we have a few other really, really good ones as well. So we'll have a think about it and see if we can figure out how to add the names back. And then Thomas Kronavitter reached out again, and he had a lot of really good feedback. The most important thing, and I quote, "I was stunned how perfectly you pronounced it. So well done. So thank you." I picked up something at least.
So that was the most important feedback?
Yeah, I would say so. I think it was good to get that feedback and hear that my German pronunciation or Austrian pronunciation is actually not as bad as I think it is. But we'll see. I will stop with the name, I think, and get back to the rest of the Austrian later on. So he also had feedback on that he really likes these kinds of topics where we don't talk about tech. I don't know what that says about us as technologists, but obviously we are more interesting to listen to when we don't talk about what we actually do at work. And he also suggested that we mention value a number of times, but shouldn't we do a focus segment on what is value? So that's something we might come back to. But, and here's the segue to today's topic. One comment irritated me, and now I'm quoting again. That was Thomas, not me. I personally never came across the opinion that an architect is a person that knows anything very deeply. I do strongly feel that this is not the case. So I think that goes back to me and or our old employer, where I was in charge of a business area for a while, or the competence development within a business area. And the rest of my colleagues in the same position with other business areas were of the strong opinion that you can't be an expert if you are an architect. And then I said, but hey, I'm here. And I think you all considered me being an expert. And that made them slightly uncomfortable. But I do think that there is a certain, let's say, like, some people might look at people with architect in their title and say that that person is not good enough on any technology to be a deep technology expert. And that's the reason why the person became an architect.
It's a take on the whole, if you can't do, teach. If you can't teach, administer.
Mm. Yeah, kind of. So I think that we should talk about architecture and the role of an architect. And because I do think that all three of us are kind of proud to say that we are architects. Or would any of you be more like inclined to say, no, I'm not an architect, I'm more of a... We will get back to that topic as well. But I do think we all have architects in our titles. Today, at least. I know that Alexander didn't at some point earlier in your career.
He is a DevOps something something.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just a DevOps consultant. I'm not an architect, but I do consider myself an architect, and I do prefer architect roles, and I am proud of it.
and also, you're one of the rare small number of people who came into this business from the architecture perspective. So you're a living, mm-hmm. walking proof that it is possible to start from an architecture perspective and then build out a deep knowledge. Because I'll go first. My view is that architecture is a skill just like project management is. Mm-hmm. Does a project manager need to know the disciplines of the people in their team? Not necessary, but it definitely helps to have some idea. Does an architect necessarily need to know the components deeply at a deep technical level? We're back to, it sort of kind of depends what kind of technical, or let me rephrase, what kind of an architect you are. Mm-hmm. The farther up you are, i.e. enterprise architects, and I have a lot of opinions on the enterprise architects that I've met, because Fluffy does not begin to describe them. Yeah. I'm sure they're good at something. I have yet to find where I would never consider myself an enterprise architect. Sorry about that. But on the other hand, do you need to know every detail to do a good job as an architect? No, I don't think you do. But this is also where you need to know where your skills end. And you need to know, okay, I don't know this, so who do I talk to in my team to figure out the best approach? Mm-hmm. But we can take, and I'm so happy that you brought this up, because there were so many discussions in Las Vegas last week, or the week before that, depending on when you listen to this recording, that looked at Fabric. And people just go, holy crap, I don't even know where to start. Because I might know data warehouse, I might know Lakehouse, I might know pipelines, I might know Power BI, but how do I create a cohesive architecture that leverages all the bits and pieces of Fabric? And how do we actually make Fabric do something? Most of the documentation is focused on exactly how do you do thing A with tool X. And that is not architecture. So long-winded answer, it depends on the level of the architecture that you are creating. And the more of a high-flying architecture, no, you need to know less about the technical specifications, but you need to know more about the business aspect and how to tie the whole thing together.
And I think that this episode, and I think we'll have to come back to this later on, and we would really appreciate any feedback that you have on this episode, because I think that we might come across as very architectural biased in this episode. We might come, like, it might sound that we think that architecture as a skill is the most essential bit, because without someone doing the architecture, you other senior expert, blah, 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 doesn't have any job to do, and you can only make the best of what you know and nothing else. That's not at all our intention. I think we all are very, very aware of our limitations, and that we wouldn't be able to realize any of the things we design without having really good experts on specific areas to help us achieve the goal we set out to reach.
Exactly. It goes both ways. Mm-hmm. As an expert, you will be limited in your capability to do a complete Lego set. As an architect, you will be limited by not having all the pieces.
Yeah,
but we need to work together to create a beautiful Lego set.
Yeah. So, Haney, why is architecture important? If we start there.
Such a simple, easy question, wasn't it?
I think you're on fire today.
Yes, I know. So, okay, I'll just try to get myself under control here. So, I do think architecture is really important in the sense that we need to make sense of how do things fit together? How do they actually, how are they able to do what we intend to do? And I had so many thoughts from the very first quote to what Alexander was saying and everything like that. So I'll just try to pick a few pieces here to bring up.
Just go ahead.
I do think there is variation about how people think of architecture. I've met architects who have said, I will not do hands-on anything at any point. Mm. You know, having this very strict view on like, as an architect, I will only, you know, draw an architecture diagram and say, like, this is the broad strokes. But then I also think that there are architects that are much more hands-on. And coming from a country like Finland, where customers are maybe relatively smaller than in the US in a general sense, and teams aren't necessarily huge, as an architect, you most likely will need to also do some hands-on work. There is very few people who can be just, hey, I'm just an architect, I won't do any hands-on work at all. And for me to have been able to come in from the architect angle, I started from doing architecture projects in hybrid environments and like architecture development for where there was like architecture transformation in the picture and modernization of infrastructure. And that's like a strange place to start. But for me, it made sense because I could figure out how do things fit together. I started from scratch. So I kind of figured out how does everything fit together. But then to be able to efficiently do architecture, you need to be able to also go into the details. And what has enabled me to do that personally is being able to then kind of like, when I see something interesting, I've gone hands-on to it because that allows me to gain deeper knowledge of that. But also, all our paths are a little different because I started from a very, I believe, different angle than the two of you did. So I needed to like get the big picture and then drill deep at different spots to start to make sense of how do things fit together.
But isn't that really just two different ways of learning? That I do think it doesn't matter how you start, because I do think a lot of people
know
that would see themselves in the position you were in when you started, would have gone the complete opposite way. I need to know a specific thing very good first and then spawn out from there, where you wanted to see the big picture first. I think that is like a difference in how we learn and how we look at problems or challenges in front of us, that some people takes a step back and wants to examine the entire situation, and some wants to try something, learn something, try a specific solution to a problem first without necessarily having the full understanding of the situation they're in. Neither is better than the other. I think it's two different ways of looking at it. And perhaps that's the reason why we three consider ourselves architects and not deep technical experts.
The one thing I also wanted to bring up that you just kind of reminded me of by your comment is that for me, like, I come from the math background, and with like university level mathematics, that is a lot of problem solving. You make proofs, you'd kind of like take logical steps in your thinking, and you need to show every single step. And so also how I approach architecture is from this problem solving perspective. You need to be able to take logical steps and through that kind of solve the problem that you have at hand, which is an architecture problem. So that's, I think, how, why it made sense to come from this big picture point of view to everything, because I approach it from this problem solving point of view.
I've been thinking about this for a bit. Not only is this very much like the challenges we are facing as trainers, because some people, as you say, they really can't see individual trees. They need to look at the forest before they can zoom into the trees. Some people are stuck in one tree and very happy with that, could not care less about the rest of the forest. But isn't it also kind of interesting to see really young people sporting an architect title? Like it's the coolest thing ever. I'm an architect. I'm a cool person. And we tend to equate architect with seniority. And I'm curious to hear your view. Why is that? Is that because we are expecting an architect to be experienced from a technical perspective? Or is it that we are expecting an architect to understand more of the business side of things and thus be able to combine the business challenges with the technical tooling needed to realize a business problem and solve that kind of problem, like Haney said about problem solving. But what's your take on that?
I'm biased in this because I got my first architectural or architect title when I was very, very young. I'm probably one of the youngest solution architects that our former employer ever have had. Because I was good at doing the architectural bits, and I do not consider myself to be one of the best technologists within my technology area still, because I have other skill sets. And to me, it's always been two different paths, where I do think a lot of organizations see it as one path. So I do think you're onto something, Alexander, where architect is something you become once you can't get higher in the technology stack, which I think is absolutely ridiculous and the wrong way of doing it. Because it's two different ways. Either you make a career in like a specific technology area, you can become a principal engineer or whatever you want to call it, or you have a different career ladder and you go up the architectural side where you have the same levels, but you're either an engineer or something like that, or you're an architect. But I do not see that you make a career going from a certain engineering title up to an architect, because it's two different career paths, in my opinion. And that's also why I struggle sometimes when I meet people that are very new to a like technology area or something like that and have an architect title. Because yes, obviously you can be young and be an architect. If I were to say something else, I would be stomping on myself because I've struggled with that for my entire career. But I do think it's also very dangerous to put people in a position where they are required to understand how a lot of things fits together. And if you haven't had time to either dig very deep into it, like the way you did, Haney, or have experience from working with it, I think it's even unfair to be put in a situation where you're supposed to have all of these networks of people that you need to consult, like need to talk to be able to do your work in a proper way. So two different career paths, in my opinion.
I would slightly disagree that, yes, maybe most commonly they end up being two different paths, but I wouldn't say the one necessarily blocks out the other. I think live in a modern world where people don't necessarily, like, might not have interest to work in one kind of area for the entirety of their career. Mm-hmm. And definitely, mm-hmm. I do think, as Alexander said, architecture is a skill just like any other. And mm-hmm. if you are more in a specialization role and you want to start working more towards being an architect, but I do think it should come from the person that they do want to mm-hmm. go to a more architectural role. But even if you're in a more specialist role, you can start to act and think more like an architect. Start to ask questions from the people who are related to what you work with and understand their portions and kind of spread your horizons even while being in a specialist role. And if you do that, that is actually, I think, a great place to grow to an architect, being in a specialist role, but then starting to think and kind of look at the world from the architect's perspective and gathering your knowledge to the related areas. Because also, if I say I'm an architect, I don't claim to be an endpoint architect, you know, even within for us as architects, we have our fields where we do that. We don't do it in all of tech. That's just not doable. So we all of us have some kind of reference point where we have like stronger technical knowledge. And then it kind of spreads from there, if that makes sense. Just as an like a
I think that you before Alexander can reply and see if we said the things he thought of. Two things. First, and that's something Thomas wrote as well. As an architect, in my opinion, and I think you're on the same track, Haney. You need to understand the business and its requirements. I think you are supposed to act as the translator to some extent. But if you're a technology expert, a deep technical expert in something, does that mean that you do not have to understand the business in the same way? And like, first question. And the second one, because Alexander, when we started to work together, you were, I would say that you weren't an architect at that point in time. You were a deep technical, very like narrow field person. And then you changed. I don't know really when and how, but suddenly you woke up one morning and you were an architect. I don't know if that's due to Power BI. It might be.
Excuse me.
So first, story of... I don't know how I broke Haney, but... So, story of Alexander's life is one option to take here, and the other path is talking about, do you need to understand the business as a non-architect?
And I completely forgot to even come to this point. So I'm very, like, able to follow my thought very well today. Mm-hmm. So, for an architect, I don't think most people actually expect an architect to have the business knowledge. Because most of the time we work with tech people, we work with ICT, mm-hmm. we work with data people, whatever area we are in. And in general, hasn't come across that most people, it feels like to me that most people don't expect an architect to necessarily understand the business. At least they don't word it in that way. But in my point of view, you will be a better architect if you do understand the business, if you do ask the business questions and try to understand what is actually the benefit that you are trying to achieve with something. You can still do technical architecture based on just, you know, here are the technical requirements and things like that, but it might not be the right solution if we don't understand also the business side of things.
No, and I think I have to agree. I think it will always be beneficial to have business knowledge and business acumen. But is it required? No, I don't think it necessarily is. As long as you are able to adequately answer the question, what are we trying to achieve here? And not get bogged down in specifics, then you will be hopefully able to create a technical architecture that will realize the goals set out. Now, if that will realize the business goals or not, that's sort of kind of another conversation. And I would prefer an architect to be able to have that conversation as well, because it tends to save a lot of time and money. But I can totally see why this might be an unrealistic option in many cases. And then going back to Fabric, I find that I need to draw on every year of my 27 years in the business to be able to create a cohesive Fabric architecture. And I am absolutely not completely at ease with that. There are so many aspects of Fabric that I need to read up on and learn more about before I can confidently call myself a Fabric architect. Now, I can use my old skills, because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what you call it. It's the same things as we've been doing for the last, well, I don't know, 40, 50 years. But it is done through a different interface, a different way of doing things. How do I architect works? How do I architect workspaces, for instance? That changed from Fabric, between Fabric and Power BI, I should say. So we are all learning, and we all need to keep up, but we can also use the conceptual knowledge that we have gathered through the years. And maybe that is one of the biggest differences between a deep technologist and an architect, that we are able to conceptualize an abstract, slightly abstract away some of the deeper technical challenges.
And I think we can continue this, because we also need to listen to a story of Alexander's life and career, which is an episode on its own.
No, it's more than one episode.
Yeah, I know. It's a lot of years, Joe. So many years. But before we head into what we're going to do next during this year, I would like to finish on how Thomas sees the different roles and your comments on that. And this is, again, a quote. While a senior expert something might be deeply skilled in several areas, that person's job is to work towards a local optimum within the boundary of the area. Whereas an architect needs the skills to look for and work towards a more global optimum that often involves business goals as well. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah.
We're back to exactly where we started. An enterprise architect is way higher up in the chain, i.e. a more global context, and a more specified or specific, I should say, technical architect is further down and in a smaller or narrower context.
And I think we can get back to this, because I have so many comments about IT architects and enterprise architects, and that will make people furious. But let's get back to that. And I also think that the hierarchy is interesting, because I don't see hierarchies between architects as necessarily being only one hierarchy going up and down. There are so many other dimensions to it.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
Definitely.
Yeah. But for everyone that's listening to this, if you have any comments, feedback, if you disagree or agree with us, please reach out to us either via email, podcast@needypintech.com, info@needypintech.com. I need to look into the lists of all the aliases we have on that, or messaging on LinkedIn or Twitter. We are more than happy to incorporate your feedback into upcoming episodes. And on that, I have a few events still this side of the summer. Closest one is in Paris, the Modern Endpoint Management Summit, the 17th until 19th of April. There are still a few tickets left for that. So if you want to meet, I would say everyone will be there on the European side, at least. You should be in Paris. My next thing after that is the Midwestern Management Summit, MMS, in Mall of Americas in Minneapolis between May 5th and 9th. And I think that one is sold out, but that is one of my absolute bucket list items that I so look forward to attending and speaking at. I have one session that's been announced, and I have some others that is upcoming together with some other great speakers. And then I'm heading to Oslo for the EUC Tech Norway, the first EUC branded version of the former Citrix user group, between June 3rd and 5th. And if I'm not mistaken, I'm doing a pre-day and at least two sessions and a panel discussion and a quiz during those days. So look forward to meeting the Norwegian community once more. And one of, in my opinion, the world's best user groups as a user group. So that will be a lot of fun. Are you done for this side of the summer, or how does it look for Haney and
no.
Alexander?
No.
I'm doing Data Saturday Stockholm.
Yeah, that is what.
So am I.
Yeah.
We will all be there.
Yes, we were recording a live episode again, which is fantastic. Yeah. And Haney and I are also doing Igloconf. And how should that be pronounced properly in Finnish?
I think it's two English words put together, so you don't have to say them Finnishly.
No, but you must tell us how he's supposed.
Oh, Igloconf, if you want to say it the Finnish way, but
what she
you
said.
Know, Igloconf works as well, so whichever you prefer. As the last thing, I do want to mention that if you are looking into getting up to speed with Microsoft Fabric, there is a new wave of Learn Live Fabric training coming up, just starting, I believe, in just a few days. So if you just, we'll make sure to put the link in the show notes that you can find it. So it's a video series that is streamed through YouTube where you can follow along to learn about Fabric.
And on that, we are done. And I can't wait for the follow-up to this one, because I already have a list of questions.
Me too.
And thoughts.
And feedback.
And also,
and thoughts.
I have an idea for someone that I think we should bring in to do an interview, because she has gone from a very deep technical skill to... Mm-hmm. Sort of kind of reluctantly into an architecture role.
Interesting.
And also the challenges that she faced. So I'm going to reach out to her and see what she says. But
please
until do. Next week, have a good one. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Knee Deep in Tech. Knee Deep in Tech is a bi-weekly technology podcast hosted by Alexander Arvidsson, Simon Binder, and Heini Hilmarinen. If you have any feedback, questions, or would like to be part of an episode, please reach out to us on social media or via email at podcast@kneedeepintech.com.